A while back on the Sales Evangelist podcast, I interviewed this lady who was absolutely energetic. She's full of passion and excitement. She has tons of wisdom and knowledge, and she is a sister doing amazing things. I figured you would really appreciate that episode as well. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another great episode of Selling in Color. My name is Donald C. Kelly, the Sales Evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode. I'm excited to be here with you today. And on this episode, I'm bringing you an episode from one of my past shows on my other podcast. This is with Lisa Nichols. And if you don't know who Lisa Nichols is, I highly recommend you go check her out. Lady was on Oprah. She has been doing some amazing things. She was a single mom raising her son, had no money, had nothing, but made a commitment and just was inspired that she was going to create a business, create a lifestyle, create something for her and for her family. And now she is pretty darn successful and is a millionaire. You're going to hear her story and how she did a lot of that and how it's about the mindset and about the motivation and about sales and how people who look like you and me can enter into that million and billionaire club. But it requires us to do certain things, to get outside of our comfort zone, to push ourselves to do different things. And it's not going to be easy, but it is possible. And you're going to hear her story today. Hope you enjoyed this. If this is your first time listening to one of our podcasts, please go ahead and subscribe and also tell someone else about the podcast. Leave us a rating and review. It would be greatly appreciated. I won't take up much more time. Let's go and dive into this episode. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yes. I am excited to have you here. I know we're going to have a good time today. We're going to chat about some really cool stuff when it comes to getting ourselves up and going, thinking about this abundance. And I know sales professionals, entrepreneurs out there, they're all stoked to hear about all the stuff. I've been ramping up about this and getting the audience all hyped for you, Lisa. So I'm excited to have you here with us today.
I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited to talk to, particularly when you talk to entrepreneurs and people who are literally committed to transforming their lives into something barely recognizable. I always love to be a part of that. I love to be a vehicle, a tool, a sister in the journey. So I'm excited to be here with you. And ideally, we pass on some information that sets some folk on fire.
I like that idea a lot. And at least a lot of the people listening to us, they all, a sales professional, we all have this desire to be successful. We can define our success in so many different ways, each individually for us. I first learned about you through YouTube and I was looking up some motivational stuff and I was like, this stuff is good. But you don't call yourself a motivator. You don't call yourself that. You call yourself more of a coach, correct?
Yeah, I consider myself a transformational coach, but I do use four other major areas of teaching. I use education, I use motivation, and I use inspiration, all for the sake to get someone to their transformation. So I'm a transformational coach, but I do use and engage motivation, inspiration, and information to do that.
Your story is very interesting, Lisa. And I talked about that a little bit in the beginning of the intro here, how you were, you didn't born into this. You didn't born into abundance. You didn't born into success.
Right.
You mind giving us a little bit of a quick overview of, how your particular story for those who are unfamiliar with your journey?
Sure. I would have been considered academically challenged in school. I wasn't challenged enough to be special ed or anything like that. I just really had a hard time learning. I found out in my 20s that I'm functionally dyslexic, which means, I'm able to get by. I just got to do things a lot slower, learn a lot slower. I learn thorough, not fast. And so for that reason, my highest grade all through school was a C+. I didn't get a grade higher than a C+. The last time I took an English class, I got a fail. My English teacher told me I was the weakest writer she ever met in her entire life. My speech teacher, the last time I took a speech class, I got a D-. And he said, quote unquote, "Miss Nichols, I recommend that you never speak in public."
No.
That you get a desk job. So education for me was challenging. And then when I had my son in 1994, I had to get on government's assistance to have him. I had to get WIC, Women, Infant, and Children, free cheese, free pasta, free milk, I was at an all-time low. I was at an all-time low when he was 8 months old, and I didn't have money to buy him Pampers. I had to wrap him in a towel for 2 days because I had $11.42 in my bank account, and I didn't even have enough money out in to get $20 out. And so I just remember that time. I remember the time of the year. I remember where I was in Inglewood, California. And I remember that I said, this must be the definition of being broke and broken. And I always say, when you're broke, you just got to figure out how to make money. But when you're broken, you have to figure out how to be inspired enough to get up to go do something. And so I was broken, broken. My spirit was broken. My belief in me at some point had gotten broken. It was difficult to see the light. And when I wrapped my son in a towel for 2 days, I felt what rock bottom felt like. And I made a decision. I made a decision that I'm willing to reinvent every single part of me. I'm willing to become unfamiliar with any and every part of my journey so that I can become familiar with something new. I was willing to disrupt everything I knew for everything I thought possible. I just got sick and tired of my own story. And that was the beginning. 1995, around fall of 1995, was the beginning of me going, okay, who can I become? I've seen who I am, and I've been told about my potential, but I don't want to even know about potential, because potential feels like it's something out there in the future that I don't even know when I'm going to touch it. I want to know who I can become, period. And that was the beginning of the woman that you see today.
That is awesome. You know, then your story is inspired and gotten a lot of people to recognize that, you know, I need to set my sights higher. I need to also, you know, step up. I need to be better than where I'm at right now. And it inspired me a lot. And you wrote a new book right now, and it's called the concept is all about abundance. And that's why I really it came towards me, because as a sales professional, you know, I think about that concept of abundance, but in my mind, as abundance, I'm probably thinking, you know, like, you know, wealth and things like that. But you have a new definition for abundance, and I'd love to get your definition for us.
Absolutely. So first, to respect the fact that a lot of people have the concept that abundance is two things. It's monetary and it's assets. So it's all the toys you have. It's all of the property. It's finances. While those things are part of abundance, that's wealth. And there's a distinct difference between wealth and abundance. And so I want to really demystify and take the myth out of it, that you can pursue wealth. That's totally fine. But wealth is not abundance. Wealth is a slice of the abundant pie. See, abundance is a 360 experience. And most of the time, people don't recognize the distinction between wealth and abundance until they've already achieved some level of wealth.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because once they've achieved some level of wealth, then they understand that I have wealth, but now I want abundance. And so the stand that I'm on with my latest book, Abundance Now, is don't seek wealth then abundance. Just go straight for abundance, because abundance includes wealth. So abundance is a 360 experience. Abundance is not only having the financial assets that you want, not only having the wealth and the tangible things that you'd like, such as cars and houses, but abundance is also having abundant relationships. See, most of the people that I coach that are wealthy, and I coach a lot of very wealthy people who are fiscally in the top 1%. But I don't coach them to achieve wealth. Many of them have far more wealth than I do even. They're looking for relationship wealth.
Yeah.
They're looking for relationship abundance. And so abundance is a 360 experience. It includes your relationships. It includes your health. It includes your spirituality. And it includes your finances. And the sooner you go after abundance over anything else, you create a holistic 360 abundant experience. And most people think that abundance is something that's only available to some people, those people over there, those people with that zip code, those people with that nationality, those people from that family. And the moment you understand that abundance is your birthright, irregardless, here's the key, irregardless of what you were born into, abundance is your birthright. So whether you were born into some form of abundance or whether you need to go get your abundance, abundance is your birthright. So I spend my days, weeks, hours, and months teaching individuals who are parallelpreneurs. They have a job, but they're also building their life, or entrepreneurs. They're building their life based on their dream, how to acquire and sustain, duplicate and scale abundance.
I love it. Love that. There's a, you know, that definition, it surely gives us like the bigger grasp, right? It gives us that bigger look on this whole concept and not just this linear set. Because then when you set in this linear path, I think you get the linear results and, you know, you can focus bigger and get that much wider grasp. One of the things you
absolutely, I just want to say to that point, when you focus very linear, you'll get one small version of it. You'll get a slice of the pie. You'll get a temporary success. You'll get an empty victory. And you'll hit the mark. But then after that, it'll be like, wah, 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 wah.
So amen to that. There's when I was growing up, you know, it's similar to in most of our cases out there is, you know, as a young entrepreneur or a young individual, we didn't come from much in our background, but I didn't think, I had this conversation with this gal yesterday, Lisa, where I was talking to her and telling her about, you know, just like how she can raise her self-esteem, this friend from our congregation, from church. And the interesting thing that I saw is that her belief in herself was so low. She didn't see herself as being the champ, seeing herself as being the top performer, because the story that she was told her whole life was that, no, you can't do that. You're not qualified to do that.
Right,
and it was
right,
just
right.
This linear mindset, so to speak. And I've seen it hurt her, not only professionally, but also in her social life and her social experiences. And I want to help individuals like that to see the things that can happen. And I believe that comes from this concept that you're sharing, again, that abundance mentality.
Well, you know, so often we are living inside a limiting belief. And that limiting belief didn't start from us. That limiting belief started and was embedded in us when we were 3, 4, 5, 6. It came from our parents. It came from our parents' parents. It came from the gender that we live in. It came from our geographical origin. It came from our cultural origin. It came from some of our spiritual background. We have so many elements that are feeding into our belief system that we have to at some point bless and thank our belief system, but then ask ourselves, is this belief system supporting my future, or is this belief system limiting my future? And if it's supporting it, hold on to it. But if it's limiting, release it and find another belief system to hold on to. Because when you change your mentality, and only when you change your mentality, will everything else follow. If you don't change your mentality, then nothing will follow. When people ask me, how did you do it? I said, the first thing I did was I fed myself a different mental food. I fed myself. The very first thing I did was I fed myself a very different mental food. Because when I fed myself a different mental food, all of a sudden, I began to produce a different physical outcome. Because when you learn something new, you do something new. When you do something new, you produce something new.
Love that. There is a concept you talk about in the book, how to get clear on what we want. If we're folks out there listening to this and they're like, you know, yeah, I want to get that. I want to have my abundance. And they understand that now. But how do you go about defining that? What are some of your strategies on how we can get clear on that?
Well, a lot of people, and I'll first talk about how most people will go about doing it. Most people think they're getting clear on what they want by really repeating what they don't want. And they do it all the time. They say, well, I don't want this and I don't want that. And I don't want this and I don't want that. Well, that's not adding any strong energetic intention to what's being created. Matter of fact, the more energy you spend on what you don't want, the more you're living in a contracted experience. So you actually contract when you live in negative and not in don't. I don't want, it's not okay. When you live in that, even if you think you're doing it to move yourself forward, like I don't want any more unhealthy relationships. That's contracting. It's a contracting way of thinking. You actually tighten everything up around you. So energy grows where energy goes. If you're listening to my voice, write that down. Energy grows where energy goes. So you're a creator. You're an artist. You are the Michelangelo of your own Da Vinci, of your own David. You're the Michael, you're the Da Vinci of your own piece of art. So what are you creating? Every time you open your mouth, every time you think of your life, you're creating something. What are you creating? So think of yourself as if you have a white canvas and it's your job to create. What do you want to paint? Now, let me tell you something. Wildly successful people who are abundant, they paint 10 years out. Mm. Now, that's the big distinction, right? So 10 years out may be way too far for you. Can you paint 5 years out? Can you paint 3 years out? I read this book once and it was riveting. It disrupted me. It said, wildly successful people think at least 5 years out while broke people think 1 month out.
Ooh.
Yeah, it hit me between the eyes. It was like straight no chaser. And so how far are you planning? So you have to create a plan, then work a plan. Most people are living without creating a plan. And if you create the plan, you only have to work the plan. But if you don't create the plan, you have to keep making up the plan as you go along. And then you begin to live more reactionary than intentional. So the big distinction between abundant thinkers and abundant livers is that as abundant thinkers, we're living intentionally because we already made the plan. Well, while most people are living reactionary because they didn't make the plan. So they're making the plan up as they go along, reacting to life experiences. And so when you say, I want an abundant life, great. What does that plan look like? I'm going to encourage you to walk out 5 years. If you can walk out 5 years, and then once you walk out 5 years, tell me, what are you driving? Where are you living? Be realistic. What are you driving? Where are you living? What's the balance in your bank account on a monthly basis? How many vacations are you taking a year? What does your relationship look like with your children or your spouse or your significant other or whomever? How many times a week are you engaging with your mother or your father? How often are you having sex? How often are you praying? How often are you, like, all the things in your romantic life as a married couple or as what? You got to be that level of detailed. I know that sounds crazy, but if you're not that level of detail, then you're leaving a lot to, and it won't happen exactly that way. It will look very different than what you expected, but you at least have the plan. Mm-hmm. How often are you on your knees praying? How often do you read scripture? How often do you go out dancing? How often do you fellowship? How often, like literally, if you make the plan at that level of detail, now all you have to do is live the plan out. Then based on your 5-year plan, what's your 3-year plan? Your 3-year plan, you'll notice it'll have to get you in alignment with that 5-year goal. So you'll start making 3-year decisions based on your 5-year goal. It's really exciting. And then once you do your 3-year, then do your 1-year, and your 1-year will be so powerfully clear because you know where you want to be in 3 years and you know where you want to be in 5 years. So you know what you have to do in a year. What will happen with that is now that you've gotten that clear, you won't sweat the small stuff. You won't live in drama. You won't get distracted more because something greater is pulling you forward. Something greater is calling you to stay focused, stay laser, get up a little early. Something that has you super, super excited because you made this crystal clear plan.
Mm, I love it. The details of getting into the 5-year, I mean, even down to the things that you're sharing there, like with, you know, your romantic life or even, you know, the type of car, the place you're living. Like some of us, we don't think that way. We just think, yeah, if I, you know, 5 years out, it'd be cool to have our own house. It'd be cool to have a new car. And that's about it. But this is more of like that business plan in some instance, right? Your life is
it's a life plan.
Yeah.
It's a life plan. I mean, I say list the color of the car.
Yeah.
List the music that you'll listen to in the evening and what delicious drink you will be sipping. Like that level. See, people say, oh, the devil's in the details. I say, no, the angel's in the details. The blessing is in the details. The angel was in the details. The blessing is in the details. Because if you can see it, the better you can see it, the hungrier it will make you, the hungrier that it makes you, the more you're going to taste it. The more you can taste it, the more you're going to run toward it. And that only happens when you identify the color, you identify the smell. Identify the smell that you will smell when you walk in your new home. Is it lavender? Is it lilac? Literally, I am that level of details. And because at that point, an emotional reaction gets attached to the goal. And when you can have an emotional engagement attached to it, and it only happens when you're in that level of detail. And there's an emotional attachment, all of a sudden emotion. If you think of a thought is gas in your car, the thought about your goal. The emotion is turbo boost. that's how I want you to think about it. If the thought is gas in your car to your goal, then think of the emotion as turbo boost.
I think we're gonna have to get some people go out here and fix up their car now, their body car, and get some of that turbo boost going.
yes. And that's mindset and emotion.
I'm curious to have your feelings. Why do people, is it because we just don't know that people don't do some of these things or don't do that plan? Or is it because of just the limited thinking like we established at the beginning? What would you say?
I think it's two things. It's one, we've never been taught how to do detail. We do that 50,000 foot goal setting. We haven't been taught what really makes it work. Every year we talk about New Year's resolutions on January 1st. And by March, ain't nobody talking about their goals anymore, right?
Nope.
Because no one's ever taught about how do you keep them. So we keep making these macro goals. We make macro goals and we want macro wins. The reality is we need someone to show us. And this is what I learned. And this was a game changer for me, that I take every macro win and I break it down into 12 to 15 micro wins. So I'm never, ever, Donald, going after a macro win. I don't chase macro wins. I chase micro wins. I just create my micro wins from my macro goal. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I mean, it's weird to hear that from you. You're widely successful in my book, but we would think like somebody, with your success you've accomplished, you might just think, I was thinking making X amount of dollars, but you're telling us you're going back down to the micro level.
Right. I got to tell you, sometimes I forget the millions my company makes on an annual basis. I forget the millions because I'm only going event by event by event. I'm looking at the event. I'm the one who set the goal to make multiple millions at the beginning of the, right? I set that goal. So I set the goal, threw it out there. We know how to track it. And then I went immediately, that's the macro goal, right? And every year my company has grown double digits every year. But they've grown double digits every year because I keep focusing on the micro goal. Not only do I focus on the micro goal in the number, but when I set a number, I may say, I'm going to make $150,000 at this event. I not only say that, I then go, and that $150,000 is going to be made up with $42,000 from this catalog event, $38,000 from this, $10,000. So now, and then I say, so I'm going to sell two of these programs, six of these programs, seven of these programs. So all I'm focusing on is 2, 6, and 7. That's it. Now 2, 6, and 7 will get me 150. 150 will get me the end of the year. But people just focus on those big goals, macro goals, and it's the micro wins that are going to get you to the macro wins. And when I learned that, and I manage my goals through my milestones, through my action steps, if I have one big goal, it's going to have 3 milestones to show me that I'm getting to that goal. For every milestone, I have at least 5 action steps.
Have you seen those macro goals collapse people before? Like just focusing on the macro?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We see it every year for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
It's so okay that we don't even talk about it anymore. The fact that on January 1, everyone's setting a New Year's resolution. By March 1, no one wants to talk about them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we do it all the time. That's a very public goal. And then you have all your private goals. But here's what you have to watch out for, is that when you set a goal for yourself, and this is real important, when you set a goal for yourself and you don't hit it and you keep setting goals over the years, and just think back over the years, and you may not have hit it, all of a sudden you lose a little bit of faith in yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's so important.
to set yourself up to win. It's so critically important to set a goal up in such a way that you know how to hit it, in such a way that you can see long before you get there how you're going to get there, and that you clearly can get there. You don't get any extra points for setting a bodacious, audacious goal that was never even achievable in the first place. You only have that moment of excitement when you set the goal, and everything else is going to be something that doesn't get you. Just go, I set achievable goals that stretch me. I always say your goal should stretch you, not stress you.
Huh. Should stretch you, not?
Your goals should stretch you, not stress you. And so the moment you set a goal and the goal stresses you, then there's either one or two things you need to do. Adjust the goal, adjust the number, or adjust the timeline. A lot of times it's the timeline. You can achieve that goal, but you're not going to do it in 14 days. You probably need 22 days to do it. So give yourself 22 days. And we're in that society of microwave mm-hmm. society. We want everything right now. Google download society. And so give yourself the time to make it happen. So in my book, Abundance Now, what I talk about is abundance is not something that you get to have later. Abundance is something that you get to have now. But abundance isn't something that you go get. It's not something that you go and you get. It's not something you pull off the shelf. It's not something you get off of a computer. Abundance is something that you expand from what you already have access to.
Oh, shoot. Man, I love that. I'm writing some of that stuff down here. The one thing I want to talk about more for your book is the 12 life-changing areas. You know, the 12 areas that you have. Would love to get from you, and for folks who are listening out here, you're not going to get a chance to digest all of this in one gulp. You need to go back and get the book. You have to get the book, and we're going to put a link in our show notes. But I want to get from you, give us some of those life-changing areas that we can think about, we can focus. Maybe some of your top favorites from that, Lisa.
Sure. Yes. So there, the 12 life-changing areas that really impact you. And one of my favorites is your love relationships, that your love relationships are going to have a lot to do with how you shape your life. The second are your family relationships. When you look at life, the thing that consumes the most energy in your entire life will be your relationships. The thing that you think about most will be your relationships. The thing that brings you most joy and or sorrow will be your relationships. So the first area is your love relationships. The second area is your family relationship. The third area is your peers, colleagues in your social circle. The fourth area that will have a great impact on you are who are your mentors and who are your advisors? Who's pouring into you, right? And so when you look at that, you have to look at, you know, where's my love? Where's my family relationships? Where are my peer colleagues and social relationships is number three. Number four, my mentors, advisors. Number five, your career and your business. It's going to have a huge, huge impact on your life and your quality of life.
Go ahead, Lisa.
The next is your investments and future legacy. And this is a key and critical thing for a lot of people of color, because we haven't had this is the first time in life that we literally have enough resources fiscally, and we have enough time space where we now can create future investments and future legacies. It's no longer the way it was in the 40s or the 50s, or now for the first time, we have the ability to create generational wealth and generational contribution.
Yeah, that's huge.
And how exciting is that? And so it's about what do we know in order to do that? And then another area is your philanthropic endeavors, a life of service. How is your life serving others? How are you making this world a better place for other people while you're here? See, your lifetime will be finite, but your contribution can be infinite. Your lifetime, your lifespan will give you 80, 90, 100 years, but your legacy can be infinite. It could be a Dr. King, a Nelson Mandela, a Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez. It literally can be endless in time. So what does that look like? So those are just a few of my favorites from the book.
I like the one, if you don't mind elaborating a little bit on social areas, how can that impact an individual that's the social areas and your peers?
So, you know, your you have an influence. You are a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And you have the ability to touch many, many more people than who you physically touch directly. So your social circle looks, it has an impact in different ways. Number one, when you speak to inspire, not to impress.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. When you speak to inspire and not to impress, your inspiration has a ripple effect because of your social circle. So imagine this. If you share an inspirational statement over the course of 90 days with at least 30 friends or colleagues, and of those 30 friends or colleagues, 15 of them decide they want to share what you said on their social media page, or they want to share what you said to two friends. You just inspire people you've never met.
Yeah.
So that's your social circle. Your social circle also has a great influence because your social circle should inspire you to stand on your tippy toes. You should be in a social circle that inspires you to be a better man, to be a better woman. They should make you want to stand on your tippy toes. And if your social circle isn't doing that, then you want to make sure you expand your social circle. So people all say, "What, Lisa, what do I do?" I did a Facebook Live this morning and I had a lot of people ask me questions about what happens when the people around you are negative and they're not positive and they're frustrating. And then we've all heard that you're the sum of the five people you hang around. So we all know that already. But if you are in an environment that's negative and draining, number one, understand that you have choice. So we're choosing to be everywhere that we are. Yeah. We're choosing to be everywhere that we are. Well, no, it's my husband. Well, no, it's my wife. Well, no, it's my, we're choosing to be everywhere that we are. We don't get to slide over in the passenger seat of our life. We don't get to slide in the backseat of our life and say, "Oh my God, I don't want to hit that wall." You're not in the backseat of your life. Get out of the backseat of your life. You don't get to get in the trunk of your life. Slide in the driver's seat. Number two is that sometimes you can't quite remove the negative people from your life. So then go hunt for positive people so that there's a natural blend. So when I was changing my life, I had a little bit of everything. I didn't know I had a little bit of everything in my life. And I had more negative people around me, and not my family necessarily, but the community that I was working in. I was doing advocacy work. Everyone was sad. Everyone was angry. All I did was added another equation of people to my life. Every 5 weeks, I went to the same training and I didn't even understand what they were saying. I didn't even really talk. I'm telling you, Don, I didn't know what they were saying. They were talking about a whole new language, but I knew they were positive.
Yeah.
And that was all I needed to know. I was one 800 people there. I was one of four women and I was one of two people of color.
Wow.
That was it. Two people of color out of 800 people. And I didn't question if I belong there. I knew I needed to understand what these people were saying. I didn't leave until I understood what they were saying. I stayed a part of that organization for 13 years until I understood, till I became an instructor there. So you need to add to your environment, get yourself a tribe that inspires you to stand on your tippy toes. Get yourself a tribe where you can be a student in.
Yeah.
Get yourself a tribe that honors and celebrates your brilliance and your genius and requires you to have more brilliance and more genius in order to stay in that tribe.
Amen. Now, Lisa, if folks out there, they're listening, they're hooked. If there's one major takeaway you'd like them to leave this episode with, what's that one major piece of advice?
You are the true designer of your destiny. You are the true author of your autobiography. It doesn't matter what your chapter four look like. All that matters is that your chapter four is a blank page and only you are holding the pen in your hand. So my command to you, demand to you, request of you as your sister in the journey is to write a delicious, delicious story. It doesn't matter what chapter four said. It doesn't matter how many times you've been knocked down. It doesn't matter how many times you've wondered if you were the right person. All that matters is that you give yourself a powerful chance to be the brilliant being, the contributing angel that you've always been meant to be, and write a darn good story.
Love it. Love it. Now, if folks out there want to get in touch with you, they want to get access to your book or some of your programs, is there a certain place they should go to get access to any of that?
Well, I got a goodie. I got a gift for you. So
ooh,
I
have an, I like a gift.
Yeah. I have a free abundance checklist. So it's just a checklist around just kind of abundant thinking. And are you living inside an abundant place? And it's always good for us to kind of measure ourselves. So if you go to www.abundancenowonline, again, that's www.abundancenowonline.com/free. My favorite word, free. Don't forget the free. So if you go to abundancenowonline.com/free, you'll get a free abundance checklist. And you also can get the book there if you choose, but I would love to give you that gift.
Well, we'll definitely take that and we'll share that with our community. And we appreciate you, appreciate your willingness to to give us those gifts and give us those opportunities. Christmas came a little bit early for all of us this year.
You know, well, you know, I feel like we're all going around giving out to others. And sometimes it's just good for us to find ways. How can I be poured into? Because mm-hmm. the number one thing you want to do is you want to learn how to fill your own cup up. So you're not serving others from a half empty cup or a bone dry cup. Your job is to fill your cup up. I mean, every day, fill your cup up. So that you get to serve the world from your overflow. Matter of fact, I say you should be serving the world from your saucer, not your cup.
Wow. There you go. I like it. Now, if there are any programs that you have, like big programs you have going on, any events that maybe folks in the U.S. may be attending? I know you'd go all over the world too, right?
I do. Yeah, we have. So I'm focusing on in this season of my life, my prayer time. I asked God 4 years ago, God, what should I be focused on? All my dreams have come true 5X. Like I didn't even know what to, you know, I said I want to write and I have 7 bestsellers. I want to get out of scarcity and lack. And I have the blessing of running a multi-million-dollar business. I want to reach people. And now I reach about 36 million people a year. And so about 4 years ago, I didn't know what to pray for anymore. Like, I didn't know what to dream for anymore. Yeah. I was like, I got nervous. I'm like, God, I don't know. Everything has come to pass. I said, what should I be doing? And what I heard in my spirit was teach others how to find, discover, hone, and master their voice. Mm. And all of a sudden, what also dropped into my spirit was no longer focused on being Michael Jordan on the court. Now I want you to be Phil Jackson.
Yeah, coach you.
Right. Coach people. And so we have we just have some beautiful programs that help people to harness their voice. And that, and I can coach on a ton of things, finances, marketing, you know, business development. But really what I'm supposed to be teaching people how to do is how do you discover, own, and master the art of speaking?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's taken me years, over like 18 years to really realize, Lisa, if that's all you do. So we have some programs coming up, Speak and Write to Make Millions in Atlanta. I have an online program called Speak for Ultimate Impact and Profit. That thing is taking people, like people who are rated a 3 in their speaking. They literally do this program. Now you got to do it and look at the videos twice. I recommend minimal. But we've had people go from being rated a 3 to being rated at 8.5.
That's
and
amazing.
So everything about me is how do you, if you're a speaker, author, or coach, and oh, by the way, not a platform speaker, not wanting to be a speaker like Les Brown or me or Tony Robbins, but if you use speaking as a means to move your life forward, mm-hmm. meaning if you're in sales, if you're in management, if you're in customer service, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, whatever you're doing in life, if speaking impacts your business, impacts your life, then we want to operate as if you're an inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
And so I want to help you. I want to help you if I can. If I can, I want to help you as your sister.
And we can get there from the links that you mentioned earlier, correct?
Yep, absolutely. You can still go to abundancenowonline.com. Again, you can go to abundancenowonline.com/free. Uh-huh. And from there, you can click over to the website. And you can pick up any of the speaking programs that I have and step it on our campus live. I'd love to tell me that you came from here. I got a special hug for you if you do. And yeah, and we'd love to serve you to that next level of greatness and that next level of abundance.
Well, Lisa, we appreciate your generosity and we want to thank you so much for giving us all the insight today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
You're welcome. 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 It is my pleasure. I look forward to being with you again sometime.
That was the one and only Lisa Nichols. And I want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity and listening to the show today and for connecting with her. I highly recommend you go follow her on social media. Make sure you subscribe to anything that she's giving, because I promise you're going to get a lot of wisdom. And in addition to that, man, she is just on fire as a sister doing amazing things. The things that she's accomplishing ties directly back to her ability to sell. And hopefully this can help motivate you. Think about all the people out there you know who are young folks coming up, or people who are in sales and don't know about some of the successful people that we're bringing on the show. Let's get them to know about them. Let's help raise the next generation of sellers out there so they can know that this is possible for them as well. It is amazing what you can accomplish. I'm so grateful. I'm thankful for you. If you haven't done so already, please go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. Tell someone else you know about the show to come ahead and subscribe as well. It would be greatly appreciated. I share stuff like this because I want you to succeed. I tell you about our sponsors because these people are giving us amazing things, and I want you to get some of that as well. I want you to succeed. I want more people who look like you and me to be in sales. I don't want us to go out and beg for a piece of the pie. I want us to go and create our own pie, just like Lisa did. There's great opportunities out there, and we're going to make it happen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And go out and do big things.
Stay tuned for a scene from our next episode.
Ask for what you want and believe that you are actually the person that can get it. I think so many times as African Americans, we shortchange ourselves because of what we've been told or what we've been rejected and what we've not been, the opportunities we've not had. I mean, if you can believe, you can achieve. Like, you have to ask for what you want and then be prepared to step into that and receive it.
I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon O'Bale. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.